You know, it's a joy to be in the house of the Lord, especially on the Sabbath day, to fellowship together and to share and to receive the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to take this time to welcome you all. It's a joy to see a couple faces I haven't seen in a while. Amen. And as we move forward with our worship service, I just want to mention too a couple announcements. And one announcement is fellowship lunch. After service today, we're continuing with fellowship lunch, and you will be treated as kings and queens. You don't even have to get up and get your own food. Well, you have to get up, but you don't have to serve your own food. You will be served. So in line with our hybrid service, we are seeking to serve as we have a fellowship luncheon. We don't refer to it anymore as potluck. So you will be served as we have fellowship lunch. Please stay and enjoy the fellowship during that time. Also, I wanted to mention, some of you got texts yesterday afternoon about North Valley Church today has, Steve Wahlberg was at the North Valley Church last night, and also he's going to be there this afternoon, starting at noon. As you see there, the time slots there, and they're going to have a question and answer and a light supper. So thought that some of you might want to know that. Also, highlighting back to our church, Sister Rhonda Saeed is going to be starting a new series in her Sabbath school class. And I might not have it right, but it's Sanctuary in Line with Righteousness by Faith. Okay, good. Interesting topic. A few weeks ago, it was mentioned that God wants certain subjects to keep in the forefront of the members of the church, and that is one of them. The sanctuary service, the 2300 days, and righteousness by faith. We should keep those subjects in front of the people, because this, we're living in these last times, and the more we understand righteousness by faith, and more we are willing to receive new light. We can only receive new light as we build it from the light of the Bible that's already been given. So, Sister Rhonda's going to be starting that Sabbath school class next week. Those have an interest, which we all do, please attend. Small groups is always on the list. You don't have a small group, not part of a small group, please let Bill, myself, know. And if you'd like to start a small group, please let us know. We're willing to assist and help in any way we can. Also, speaking of small groups, I am thrilled and excited, and was excited, that Sister Pat Burgess were leading out in a small group at her home, but now it's going to be transferred back to Sister Eva Goins' home. If you have any questions as to the location, check with Eva, check with Bill, check with me, check with Pat, and we'll give you directions how to get there. Tuesday night, 6:30. We're doing Thunder in the Holy Land. If you haven't seen any of those, you are missing out. So please join Eva and the rest of the gang there at 6:30 on Tuesday evening. And last day events at Bill and Vinny's home, 5 o'clock, light supper, and going through last day events. Also, too, one other quick thing, and that is children's story. Please be willing to sign up to do a children's story. The sign-up sheet is out in the foyer. Thank you so much for coming and worshiping with us today.
Let's go ahead and pray. Loving Father, you are a God of love. Lord, help us to focus our attention on that love. You read our thoughts and still let us live. That's so much love, Lord. Thank you so much for this church, for the people in it. Thank you for everything you continue to do for us, even though we can't see it. Lord, help us to open our eyes and put on spiritual eyes so that we can see with our spiritual eyes what we cannot see with our physical ones. We'll see the world in a whole new light if we do this. Thank you for sacrificing the one you love, your son. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen.
May be seated. I gotta take this thing off so I could be heard. Our local church, the tithe and offering this week is gonna go to the local church budget. Local church means it's gonna stay here. All monies that are just put in are gonna stay here and go for our church buildings and whatever needs we come across. Also, we have it's coming to the church budget, so we need money to operate. Everybody needs money to operate. So I'm back at the church to my left as I go out. There's some boxes, and you can put your offerings and children's money for the kids and the rest of the money that needs to go there. At this time, we'll have Chuck read our scripture this morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
We're going to go to Acts chapter 1. And happy Sabbath, by the way. Chapter 9 to 16. And when the Lord had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud, received from out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in the like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into the upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These are continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in these days Peter stand up in the midst of the disciples, and stand the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, the scriptures must needs to have been fulfilled when the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide from them that took Jesus. Happy Sabbath.
For those of you who had Saeed's lesson, we did talk about prayer in a real deep way of praying is to God personally. So we're going to have prayer. And before we do that, I want to ask how many would like for me to pray for you guys when lift up your hands if you have a special prayer you want to, and I'll bring it up. Okay, I'm going to kneel, and you could kneel with me or not. Our dear loving Father, Creator, Protector, and all those healer, and all those things that you have done in this earth when you came the first time. We're waiting for the second time. Jesus is coming again. Amen. What an assurance in our hearts, in our minds, that you will return and things will be, well, we'll have you with us. We love that, Lord. Father, we saw the hands that went up, that we all have different needs, problems, sicknesses, and the like. Have mercy, Lord, and forgive us our sins. Cleanse us of our iniquities and wash us in the blood of Christ, that we might be clean to receive the gifts that you're willing and anxious to give us. Amen. We do need them, and we thank you for them. Father, again, we just reach out to you and ask your blessing. Bless our children. Bless this church. And bless every member. Bless us one, and bless us all. In Christ's name we pray. Thank you and praise you. Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless day. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the
the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again.
And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns and calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
I hope the church has an appreciation for their head elder. The moment I stepped in this church, I saw him running to and fro. You know, as a head elder, I guess a lot of people come to him and want him to do this and that. And so I'm not a member of this church, but I appreciate Brother Jesse. You know, I hope you do too. He's doing a great work, even though he, as we all are broken vessels. And don't be fooled. Just because I'm here behind the pulpit, I don't have any problems. I am also a broken vessel, constantly leaking. But my only place of solitude is when I open the Word and start reading. And it brings a peace and calmness in a world that, as you all know, is in turmoil. So, yeah, be with Jesse, support your church, pray for our leaders, church leaders, national leaders. Yeah, they need it. They're also broken vessels, by the way. So, I have to make not an apology, I have to set the record straight. I was just about to go into an elders meeting in Grants Pass. I was in the parking lot when Jesse calls. And he caught me off guard because he wanted to know the information. And I gave him the title of the sermon, and then I gave him the scripture, but I wasn't sure. So I gave him what I thought was the right scripture, and it was in the right area, but it was a little too far. It actually starts Acts 1, verse 6, and all the way just to verse 11. So I must have said something different, and it was never corrected. So open your Bibles and to Acts 1, and we'll start from verse 6 and to 11. That's going to be our central focus for this Sabbath. So before we do that, I'm going to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we can never pray too much. If we ever wanted to know what it's like for you to be with us, start praying. You said that prayer is the secret place of the Most High, which we'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I found out what that secret place was in Matthew 6. That's when we pray by ourselves and we're alone. And I know you're with us because standing by the shadow of the Almighty tells me you're hovering over us. Yeah. Now I understand why your enemy and our enemy wants to keep us away from communicating with you. He doesn't want us, or he doesn't want you to be near us. But prayer is the key that unlocks heaven's gate. It's a wonder we don't do it more. And Lord, forgive me, I'm just as guilty as everyone else in neglecting that communication with you. I hope today, Lord, that the message you've brought us will change that, and that we spend more time in your word and more time talking to you as a friend. Thank you for being willing so much to listen to fallen man. Thank you so much for providing for everything that we need to live life. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bill was very adamant to say, Victor, don't even look at the clock and you take as much time. Well, I really don't need a lot of time. This is not a big message. It's a short one, but don't need a big one. I mean, when you have a Jesus wept, that in itself is a powerful sermon. You don't need a long message, so this is not long. Unless I embellish, and I have a tendency to embellish and go off notes and talk about something else, which I think I will. So we're in the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts is the fifth book of the New Testament, and it's also the second volume of two written by Luke. Luke was a companion of the Apostle Paul. And in his first book, the book of Luke, he tells the story of Jesus, his birth, his ministry, his death, and his resurrection. Then the second, he shows us how the Holy Spirit led Jesus' followers to take the good news recorded in the first book throughout the world, to form what we know as now as the Christian church. One of the great promises of the Bible comes in the first chapter of the book of Acts, in which Luke records how Jesus and his disciples met together 40 days after his resurrection. And here's what it says in verse 6 of Acts 1. And this is from the NIV. I usually don't read the NIV, but it just sounds a lot better. And then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and the cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you unto heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That was Acts 1, 6 through 11. Now, Jesus' disciples were excited. They had been expecting him to set up his kingdom on earth. And they thought now would be the perfect time. So they asked him if it was. They wanted to know when Jesus was going to establish his earthly kingdom. And if it wasn't now, when would it be? And what was going to happen next? Here's what Jesus did. He redirects their focus. He redirects their focus. And he told them it wasn't for them to know the dates and the times and events. That's a nice way of saying, that's none of your business. That's the way I would have put it. Jesus is a lot more tactful. God the Father would take care of that. Nor was it their job to decipher end time dates and events. Rather, they were to be witnesses to what Jesus had done and carry that message from where they were at the time, the city of Jerusalem, to the areas around them, Judea and Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. So, their responsibility wasn't to know all about the timing of Jesus' kingdom, but to go and be witnesses for Jesus to prepare people to his coming. After Jesus made that clear, he disappeared from their sight into a cloud. Then two men, I'm presuming them to be angels or messengers of God, came to them and asked them why they were gazing up into the sky. They promised the disciples that Jesus will return in the same way they saw him leave. That's critical. Now, it is the promise and many, many other promises like that in the New Testament that give Christians hope for the future. Now, we believe the future of our world is in the hands of the same Jesus whose story the Gospels for the first four books of the New Testament so dramatically tell us. And we consider this to be particularly good news. For the Jesus that we find in the Gospel is someone who can be loved and trusted. While we were singing that first song, I leaned into Jesse. I said, Jesse, you're singing this song that goes well with the sermon. Trust. He is the one who is coming again. Jesus is the one who holds our world's future in his hands. We prepare ourselves for the end of Earth's history, not by knowing events and times, but simply by knowing Jesus. Now, who is this Jesus? Why can we trust him? Well, think about the following. The promises the two divine messengers gave the disciples means that the Jesus who is coming back is the same being who was willing to leave the glories of heaven to be born in a barn with smelly animals just because he loves us so much. Have you ever been in a barn with smelly animals? I don't think the animals were enthralled that there was a baby being born. When they had to go, they let go in front of the King of the universe. So he didn't come in a palace. He came in the lowest form, an insect. He took three steps down. He loves us so much. I don't think we understand when people say, Jesus loves you. Oh yes, Jesus loves me. But do we really know what that means? There's a beautiful hymn about Jesus. It's in Philippians 2, 6, and 7. Paul says that Jesus was the one who, being in the very nature God, did not consider himself equality with God, something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Three steps down. The Jesus was in very nature God, but came to the world to become human, simply to save us because he loves us so much. It's this same Jesus who's coming again. And brothers and sisters, that's good news. In a world full of bad news, I want to emphasize or redirect your eyes to the good news. The promise of Acts 1 declares that the one who is returning to earth and holds the future of the world in his hands is the same Jesus confronted by angry accusers who had caught a woman in the act of adultery. They were about to stone her, but Jesus sent them running and scurrying like the rats they really were. Then he asked her, "Where are her accusers?" When she acknowledged that they had disappeared, this same Jesus told her, "I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more." This same Jesus, a Jesus of compassion, a Jesus of forgiveness, he's the one who's coming again. And that, once again, is good news. The promise of Acts 1 assures us that the one who will meet us at the end of Earth's history is the one who liked people so much that he went to their parties but was also accused of hanging around with the wrong kind of people. He performed his first miracle at a, Jesse, you like this, weddings. Jesus welcomed all people, whether they were from high society or poor beggars. This same Jesus, the people lover, is coming again. And I can't emphasize that too much. That is good news. The promise of Acts 1 also reminds us that the future of our world and our lives rest in the hands of the one who could stand up and weep at the death of his best friend Lazarus. But he could also say the word and leave and have Lazarus come forth from the tomb alive and well after 4 days of decay. This same Jesus. This same Jesus is coming again. Good news. The promise of Acts 1 comforts us with the fact that the one who is coming back to our world is the same one who was willing to go through the worst instrument of torture that his culture knew, the cross, and suffer there even though he had the power to step down and avoid it all. Again, because he loves us so much. Paul continues the hymn from which we quoted earlier in Philippians 2:8. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. This same Jesus, the Jesus of the cross, is coming again. And again, that is good news. As Jesus suffered torture on the cross, he looked down at the very people who spat on him and mocked him, who beat him and forced a crown of thorns on his head, and he prayed for them, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's from Luke 23:34. This same forgiving Jesus is coming again. And again, good news. Finally, when they took Jesus from the cross and placed him in the tomb, that tomb was not able to hold him. In spite of the large stone, in spite of the powerful soldiers, and in spite of even Satan himself, Jesus burst out of the tomb as a resurrection and the life. This same living, life-giving Jesus is coming again, and that is good news. If you haven't done so before, I would encourage you once again to take at least one of the four Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament and read it through slowly. See who this Jesus is. You want a good book on Jesus? Desire of Ages. See who this Jesus is. Contemplate what he has done for us. Get a clear picture of his character of love. Then think about what it would mean to have your future in those hands. Consider what it would mean what it would be like to know that he is the one who holds that future, but also the future of the world. Reflect upon what good news that would be. The promise of a second coming of Jesus can become the hope that God intends to be only when we know who this same Jesus is, who is returning to our world to save us and to bring an end to this chaos, to this sin and to death. We become prepared for his arrival, not by knowing the events that will take place, but by knowing Jesus, by trusting Jesus as your Savior, who will rescue you from our sins and death and give us eternal life. Most of the end time scenarios have it wrong. They emphasize figuring out when Jesus will show up and how current events may help to decipher times and dates. That was the very thing that Jesus told disciples were not for them to know. Instead, he summons us to know him. Now, on the other hand, Jesus did warn that before his return, false prophets and false messiahs would appear and that Satan would use them to deceive God's people. Therefore, it's important to understand what Jesus tells us about his return. The focus is on knowing him, but he does give us warning to keep us from being taken in by these false speculative scenarios. So it's important to see what the New Testament teaches about the return of Christ and how it will occur. Back in the late 40s in China, in 1949, the Chinese government ran and fled as the forces of Mao Zedong, communist leader of China, took over. There were Christians who believed in the secret rapture theory that is so prevalent among Christianity. Those Christians in China, when they saw communists taken over, were unconcerned. Why? Because they believed they would be raptured and taken out. Thousands and thousands of Chinese died because of that. Now, those Chinese Christians who were reading the Bible and knew how Christ was going to return, they fled to the mountains. And today, their descendants are spreading the gospel in communist China. So it's important to know how he's coming back. But we must never take our focus off the most important point of all. Jesus is coming again, and we prepare for that day by knowing him so well that none of Satan's deceptions could make us fall for a counterfeit. Today, do you have that satellite image? I need a satellite image from above. Okay, where's the next one? Yeah, satellite image from above, like from space. No, that's okay. I'll explain it to you. Why does Jesus not only emphasize to his disciples, but to you and I, the importance of sharing? Sharing the gospel, sharing the good news. Well, one is to let the whole world know. But there's another reason. Now, since we don't have it on the screen, I need you to picture in this mind a satellite view of Israel. What you'll see is on up north are these little creeks and rivers that are coming into the Jordan River. And from the Jordan River, it goes into the Sea of Galilee. And then it on the other side, it goes out and goes into the Jordan River and ends up in the Dead Sea. So the Sea of Galilee is where Jesus ministered a lot. He taught the gospel, the good news. He did many miracles. He tamed demons near the Sea of Galilee. It has fish, so people made a living. It had plants. There's life in there. But as you go down, you end up in the Dead Sea. And there's no outlet there. It just takes. So what's the difference between these two lakes, both fed by the Jordan River? Well, God tells us, if you have that picture, is when you receive, like the Sea of Galilee receives, it shares. You receive, you share, there's life. But if you just receive and take and take and don't share, what's in the Dead Sea? Well, the last I knew, Sodom and Gomorrah was near there. There's nothing but death. Nothing lives. Do you want to grow in your Christian life? Do you want to be blessed? You need to share. If you come to church once a week and receive these blessings, yet don't go out and share it, what you've learned, guess what? You don't grow as a Christian. You don't flourish. You just eventually wither and die. So that's why Christ is so, his emphasis is to tell people the good news. So, today many people worry about the monsters that lurk ahead in the end of Earth's history. They tremble before the threats of nuclear disaster. They tremble so much under the threat of global warming. They tremble under the threat of this and those viruses. They're fearful. They tremble about the smog. They even tremble about the anger and the vengeful God that they've learned about. But for Christians, the end is good news because it is the same Jesus, the one who we've come to know and love in the Gospels, who shelters our future in his hands. So Jesus made it very clear to his disciples and to you and I that it was not for them to know the times and the seasons. Their responsibility was to witness to what they have seen and done. Their responsibility was to witness to the world, first in their community, then branch out to everywhere in the world. Can we really keep up the hope of this after 2,000 years? I mean, come on. Isn't that long enough? 2,000 years, that's long enough. But if we remember that the issue is not about time, It's about, as the song said, trust in God. From the very moment in the Garden of Eden until the end of time, the whole issue is about who are you going to trust? When Eve was at the tree, the issue for her, whose voice are you going to listen to and trust? Because there was two voices, the voice of the creator and the voice of the created. So from then to the end, it's the same issue. Whose voice are you going to listen to? Our creator or those who have been created? That is the issue. I have a unique privilege of being close to my granddaughters. For quite a time, they had lived at our house, so I got to know them really well. At the end of the evening, when they went to bed, mom and dad would read them books. But when they didn't have time or they're out doing something else, my grandchildren would come up to me and they would say, "Grandfather, will you be my bedtime buddy?" This is what they meant. "Grandfather, I want you to lay down on my bed. I'm going to bring you a stack of books and I want you to read to me." So I said, "Okay." So I brought you one of those books. This is from Sesame Street. And it's called Another Monster at the End of This Book. So I open up this book. I'm going to read you some of it. Mr. Grover and Elmo. "Elmo, I'm not going to the end of this book if there's a monster there. Monsters are not to be trifled with. I'm going to stay right here on the first page." "Okay, Mr. Grover." Elmo will go and see the monster all by himself. Turn the page. So I asked my granddaughter, "Monster, do you really want to turn the page?" "Yes, grandfather, turn the page." So it goes on, and as they turn the page, Mr. Grover is just beside himself. He's trying to keep from turning the page by putting paper clips. Didn't work. Building a block of wall so he wouldn't have to look what's on the other side of the page. Didn't work. Even went to glue the pages so that Grover could not turn the page and expose the monster. Well, it goes on and on and on. And by the time the end of the book, the more the pages were turned, the more Mr. Grover became agitated and would plead not to turn the page. Well, at the end of the book, at the last page, you know what monster was there? Yeah, Mr. Elmo. He was the monster at the end of the book. A lot of people do not like to open the book or turn the page because they're afraid of the monsters at the end of the book. So they do whatever they can not to turn the pages, simply because they don't want to know about the monsters. Well, if you go to the end of the book, you find out, oh, there's no monsters there. It's just this same Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for redirecting our eyes to the one and only one who loves us so much that he took three steps down. I still can't understand that, Lord. But in time, through eternity, we will be able to study that science of love. But until then, we dwell in a world, Lord, that even non-believers can see is falling apart. Even men who make promises that they can do better than this man, and this man said, "I can do better than him." Father, in reality, we are all broken vessels. Lord, help us to redirect our eyes and our thoughts, not in what man can do for us or to us, but to keep our eyes on this same Jesus who has already proven his love for us. Be with everyone here, Lord, as the week comes, they'll face the world, but just keep this same Jesus right before them. I pray these things in his name. Amen.